Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and today we'll be closing the book of Acts with chapter 28. Last lesson in the book of Acts. We give you a big welcome, especially if you're new here. I see some new faces. We appreciate everybody coming, and want to make sure that each one of you feel at home and welcomed. The next lesson will be in Romans chapter 1 as we go straight through the Bible. This is a no-nonsense Bible church. We are looking at Acts chapter 28. And the Bible verse, memory verse for this week is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, which reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians 1:3. And we'd like to encourage each one of you to hide God's word in your heart. Now, God be blessed. We are to bless him daily for his blessings to us. And he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, thanks to and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hopefully you folks will be at Acts chapter 28 by the time I get through this. Okay, this is this lesson does have some rather controversial items in it, so stay tuned. Don't go to sleep. Need to pay attention to these things. We also encourage each one of you to be as the Bereans, to study and these things through to see if those be so. And we encourage each one of you to take what has gone over today as perhaps a starting point in your studies of Scripture and go from there to be good students of the Holy Word. Let's start out with Acts 28, verses 1 and 2, please. Quote, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Miletian, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." End quote. Now, if you will remember, and for those of you who are new, you won't remember, but unless you've read the book of Acts. From the last lesson, and we encourage everybody to go back and review, the last lesson, the Apostle Paul had suffered shipwreck on the shores of Malta. And he was on the ship as a prisoner going to Rome. The ship went aground in the bay of the island, and the front of the ship stuck in the sand, and the rest of the ship kind of swung around and broke apart by the mighty waves that were crashing in. So they, we're speaking of all the prisoners, had to swim to shore, which would mean the Apostle Paul would have had his chains removed at that time. So he swam in, like everybody else, without chains. The people of Malta showed hospitality to them all and brought them what they needed, as well as starting a large fire for their warmth. As noted, there is still some rain from the hurricane, the tempest, and it was still cold. especially being wet, they would be even cooler with the breeze. The people of Malta recognized the fact that what had landed on their shores were prisoners because of the Roman guards. Now, they would notice that they treated the Apostle Paul rather differently, but nevertheless, he was a prisoner. So, even criminals were shown hospitality on the island by the barbarians in some way. The word barbarian here probably simply means that they didn't speak Greek, which was the language of civilization at that time. There is a difference in being a barbarian and being a savage. A barbarian is uncivilized, uncultured, and with what I would consider uncivilized manners. Whereas a savage, unfortunately, which is the name given to the American Indians by the colonialists, savages, a savage describes a people's demeanor in general, with a savage people. Barbarians such as Genghis Khan was also savage at best. Genghis Khan was a savage at best. He was probably worse than a savage. So, there is no evil approach found in the people of Malta, but only generosity and kindness. Verse 3 through 6. Quote, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he," that is Paul, "shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." End quote. While they, while the barbarians were gathering wood for the fire, Paul helped out with the gathering of the fuel. Critics have pointed out that there are no trees on Malta. However, the wood being gathered didn't have to come necessarily from trees, but from woody shrubs and woody type weeds and sticks. It mentions that Paul wasn't, well, he's picking up sticks. There, at one time, may have been trees on the island, but that is not generally provable. As the sticks were being gathered, a poisonous viper bit Paul on the hand and hung on. Critics also point out that there are no poisonous vipers on the island of Malta. However, that is not certain, because at one time there may have been. The written record here indicates that there were, at least at one time, some poisonous vipers on the island. Now, the animal was recognized as poisonous, so it was not an uncommon species at that time. The people had some idea as to how long it would take for the poison to take action. So there had been past experience with this same type of creature. Now, the people who saw this thought that this man, that is Paul, was a criminal who had escaped the wrath of the storm and that of the waves. But justice was to be carried out nevertheless. At that, Paul was not permitted to live. Hence, the viper bit him. The idea of a life for a life was a premise even of the barbarians, who perhaps never heard of the laws of Moses, or that of the Noahic laws, or they've never seen the book of Genesis. They had understood the laws of justice in their own natural hearts and minds, such as that referred to in the book of Romans, chapters 2 and 3. Now, these people watched Paul to see how soon the poison would take effect. But Paul simply shook the poisonous animal off his hand into the fire and went about his business of gathering fuel for the fire and remained unhurt. As a matter of fact, as observed, his hand didn't even swell from the bite, as may be expected. Even if it wasn't poisonous, a person's hand may swell up from a bite. But that didn't happen. After seeing Paul in fulfillment of Mark chapter 16, verse 18, be unharmed, the people changed their minds and thought in an entirely different direction. Instead of being a murderer and a criminal, they went exactly in the opposite parallel direction. Paul was a god. The small case g, by the way. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 was literally fulfilled at this time, even though there are those who claim that this, as well as other verses, are only unauthentic additions, as it reads concerning Christ's apostles. Notice this is talking about Christ's apostles, not Christ's followers, and this would disqualify the snake handler cults, because they are not apostles. Quote, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16:18. Verses 7 through 10. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So, when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. End quote. Now, the leader of the entire island, whose name was Publius, received the Apostle Paul along with St. Luke, Paul's companion writer, who recorded the events as they occurred. We see the word us being used here and throughout much of the book of Acts, which indicates and reminds us that Luke was included. He was the quote-unquote beloved physician, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and was Paul's faithful friend, even when all others forsook him, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, which says, "Only Luke is with me." So we see that Luke remained with Paul even to the end of Paul's life, since 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. It turns out that Publius' father was seriously sick with a fever and was losing blood. The term bloody flux would indicate a deep intestinal abnormality that would bring certain death, at least sooner or later. Paul was the one who went in and healed this man, not the trained physician Luke. Now, this is not to discourage medical attention. If you are sick, go to the doctor. We don't have an apostle among us. Upon seeing this, the natives of the island brought all of their sick, and every last one of them were healed at the hands of Paul. Because of this great service to these people, they all brought Paul what is called honorariums. Interesting word, honorariums. Now, that is not quite the same thing as pay, but more along the lines of showing appreciation and that of giving gifts out of appreciation. Actually, honorarium is a higher thing than being paid like a laborer. Okay, next we see the last leg of Paul's journey to Rome. Let's look at verses 11 through 16. We're probably not going to make it to the end of this chapter, but we'll cover some of the topics here, nevertheless. Verses 11 through 16. "And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass, and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day the south wind blew. And we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. So we went to Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appius Forum. And the three taverns." Now, I know the three taverns is said to be 21 miles from Rome, and the Appius Forum is further away than that. So they're listing this in the order in which they came. "Whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered or permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." End quote. After a stay of 3 months, as the weather cleared and became more conducive to sailing, being now in either late February or March, they caught a ship that sailed out of Alexandria, Egypt, and went on its way to Italy. Now, the ship is noted in that it had its sign probably posted at the very front of the ship, and probably on both sides there in the front. Castor and Pollux, named after the twins of the Gemini constellation. The Greek gods of Gemini, the twins. The bright stars of the twins were used to navigate ships as a point of reference. Now, when Paul arrived in Italy, he would travel up what is called the Appian Way, which was named after the benefactor Appian Claudius. On his travel up this road, he would see very large Jewish settlements and cemeteries that were established just along the road to the east. Because Christians were not permitted to be buried in these cemeteries, nor did they cremate their bodies, because that was not acceptable to the Christians, they began what is now known as the catacombs along the Appian Way. Also of note is the fact that the Apostle Peter is never mentioned, even though there were many Christians in this area. The fact was, as we see in much of this, there were greetings sent among brethren. Paul received no such greeting from Peter. Paul was met with a large group of Christians, in the which none of them was Peter. Of interest is the last two chapters of Romans. I would recommend you to, after the class sometime today, to read Romans chapter 15 and 16. Of interest are the last two chapters of Romans. In the last chapter of Romans, you will find some names of those who met, greeted, and fellowshipped with Paul. The name of Mary appears in Romans 16:6, but let it be known that this is not the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, but as it says there, she was a fellow worker, a laborer in the Lord's work. Also of interest is the idea of a trip to Spain by Paul, as has been theorized that he made a trip to Spain, as mentioned in Romans chapter 15, verses 24 and 28. This is rather controversial. If this occurred, then Paul was arrested twice and imprisoned twice. The final time resulted in his execution. It is thought that he must have made his trip out to the west, some even thinking into Portugal, beyond the Pillars of Hercules. Now, after he left Rome, they theorize, especially the Latin theologians, that he went all the way to Rome, or to Spain, and evangelized that area. However, personally, I don't think so. Owing to the fact that Paul was a prolific writer, and there is no writings of his in this regard. He didn't write from Spain. He didn't write to the Spanish, nor did Luke. Luke doesn't mention going to Spain. There's nothing directly addressed to anyone, in particular in Spain. Then there is definite evidence that Paul, therefore, never went. even though there are some traditions that say to the contrary, and Paul is looking forward to the trip in Romans chapter 15, verses 24 and 28. So Paul determined in his mind and heart that he would go, but there is no evidence really physically and literally through any writings that he ever went to Spain. So there is no literary evidence, no letters, nothing. And like I say, Paul was a prolific writer, and as well as Luke. So I don't think it happened. At the end of this chapter, we see that Paul was in his own rented house for 2 years. Much is thought about the abrupt ending and no follow-up second volume to this one volume by Luke, the book of Acts of the Apostles. However, this shouldn't bother you if you realize that Luke was writing to his friend Theophilus. So, one must conclude that this book brought his friend up to date to the events that brought them to Rome. Nothing else needed said. This volume must have also circulated in testimony of Paul before the Jews and of the legal council there in Rome. It testified of why Paul was in Rome. And it was circulated amongst the Roman Christians. And it also testified of the growth of the church to those of interest in Rome. Okay, so much for the controversial parts. Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank Thee now for the Apostle Paul and for his writings and for his friend Luke, the physician, who wrote these things down for our blessing and benefit. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and sending Him to die on the cross so we might be blessed in the heavenlies with all spiritual blessings. And we pray now that You will give us strength, wisdom, understanding, and we pray that You will cause Your church to grow stronger and to grow and to be blessed of Thee, and cause us, Lord, to look to Thee humbly with thanksgiving for all things. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.